Good morning. The reading today is from Mark 12, verses 18 to 27. Marriage at the resurrection. Then the Sadducees, who said there is no resurrection, came to him with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and raise up the offspring for his brother. Now, there were several brothers. The first one married and died without leaving any children. The second one married the widow, but he also died, leaving no child. It was the same with the third. In fact, none of the seven left any children. Last of all, the woman died too. At the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her? Jesus replied, Are you not in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God? When the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. Now about the dead rising. Have you not read in the book of Moses, in the account of the burning bush, how God said to him, I am the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You are badly mistaken.
Who were the Sadducees and the Pharisees? We're going to answer that question. The Gospels refer often to Sadducees and Pharisees, as Jesus was in constant conflict with them. Together, they comprised the ruling class or political classes of Israel. They share many similarities, but there are important differences between them as well. The Sadducees. During the time of Christ and the New Testament era, the Sadducees were aristocrats. They tended to be wealthy and held powerful positions, including the majority of the 70 seats of the ruling council called the Sanhedrin. They worked hard to keep the peace by agreeing with the decisions of Rome, and they seemed to be more concerned with politics than religion. Because of this, they did not relate well to the common man, nor were they well liked. The Sadducees preserved the authority of the written word of God. While they could be commended for this, they held beliefs that definitely contradict scripture. They were extremely self-sufficient to the point of denying God's involvement in everyday life. They denied any resurrection of the dead. They denied any afterlife, holding that the soul perished to death and therefore denying any penalty or reward after the earthly life. They denied any existence of a spiritual world, including angels and demons. The Sadducees ceased to exist in AD 70, since this party existed because of their political and priestly ties. When Rome destroyed Jerusalem and the temple in AD 70, the Sadducees were also destroyed. The Pharisees. In contrast to the Sadducees, the Pharisees were mostly middle-class businessmen. Because of this, they were held in much higher esteem by the common man than the Sadducees. Though they were a minority in the Sanhedrin and held a minority number of positions as priests, they seemed to control the decision-making of the Sanhedrin far more than the Sadducees did, again, because they had the support of the people. Religiously, they accepted the written word of God as inspired by God, but they also gave equal authority to verbal traditions which added to God's word. Such is forbidden, and examples can be found in these references. Now, in contrast to the Sadducees, they believed that God controlled all things, yet decisions made by individuals also contributed to the course of a person's life. They believed in the resurrection of the dead. They believed in an afterlife with appropriate reward and punishment on an individual basis. And they believed in the existence of angels and demons. Though the Pharisees were rivals of the Sadducees, they managed to set aside their differences on one occasion, the trial of Christ. It was at this point that the Sadducees and Pharisees united to put Christ to death. Both the Pharisees and the Sadducees earned numerous rebukes from Jesus, and perhaps the best lesson we can learn from them is not to be like them. Unlike the Sadducees, we are to believe everything the Bible says, including the miraculous and the afterlife. Unlike the Pharisees, we are not to treat traditions as having equal authority as Scripture, and we are not to allow our relationship with God to be reduced to a legalistic list of rules and rituals. That answers the question, who were the Sadducees and the Pharisees? Research this question further on our website, gotquestions.org. Be sure to click subscribe and check out these other questions.
That video is from a website called Got Questions. So if you ever have any questions for when you're reading the Bible, there's a really good app and some videos on that. But like Becky said, this week, well, actually today, her grandparents have been married for 70 years. Can anyone beat that? Or Dave, do you want to give it a clap? They're not here, but you can clap if you want. 70 years. And I didn't know, but this week they had, if you get 70 years as well, you get a letter from the King and Queen. So they've had this letter, which they came up to their post, and so they had this week. And so it's an amazing time. I think that Danny is 97 and Mary is 94, and they live up in the Highlands. But 70 years of marriage, being together. But if you ask them right now, actually, you've done 70 years, do you want to be married for eternity? Tom and Phoebe, I'm looking at you guys right now. Then there might be mixed feelings. Danny might say to her, oh yeah, I'll be married to you forever, love, forever and ever. And Mary might be like, well, I've done my time, 70 years. And the thought of, because even in the wedding vows, which Tom and Phoebe will have this week, there's a line in there that says, till death do us part, isn't it? And we say that, till death do us part. And this is because this is a biblical line that's coming, because in the Bible it talks about our marriage is for this life. But if death comes in and say someone then finds someone else and wants to remarriage, that marriage commitment has been honored, and then they can remarry. But also talks about how marriage then doesn't go into eternity, that after this life, things are different. And we're going to look at that a bit today, because you've got these guys, these Sadducees, which we read in the New Testament, and they're going to try and trip Jesus up. They don't believe in the resurrection. They believe in the first five books of the Bible, and there's a question in marriage there which they think they're going to nail Jesus with, and they're going to trip him up. So that's the story that we have today. So these are the verses. So in Mark 12, from verse 18, and it says, then the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him with a question. I don't normally go in quite as quickly into this, but Sadducees, they're a bit of a weird group, aren't they? You've got this religious group who are high up in the religious part, especially in Israel. They believe in the Torah, so the first five books of the Bible, which we have, but then they don't believe in the resurrection. My question then is, like, what is the point? Like what's the point? And this might sound quite harsh to you, or quite hard, or like, I've just come in, especially if it's your first time here. But if there is no resurrection, like, what is the point? Like, if there's nothing after this earth, if there's no afterlife, if there's no eternity, like, just genuinely, like, what is the point? Like, whether my four boys become medics or murderers, like, what is the point? It doesn't matter. Like, there's no eternal consequence. There's no eternal reward. We're effectively saying everything's an accident. So everything's an accident. Everything doesn't have meaning. So whether they become professional footballers or whether they become poor, it doesn't matter. Like, everything is an accident. And that's the dark side of atheism. If you speak to friends who are atheists, and you kind of challenge them on that, I've only met one atheist who really understood that and really said, yeah, I've come to a point where I have to accept that my life, my children, my marriage, effectively, doesn't really matter. And I'm okay with that. And at least he was okay with it because he understood it. But we bring these other morality that where people who don't believe in God, who don't believe in the afterlife, when they get into situations, they actually start believing in Christian values. They start bringing in Christian values where atheism doesn't have that. Atheism, evolution, things without God, is basically saying we are a bunch of matter that doesn't matter. That's what it says. We are made of matter that doesn't matter. And the Christian message, the Christian gospel, the story of the Bible is so much more of that, isn't it? is so much more, that we created for eternity, that we were actually created to be with God from the very beginning, and death wasn't part of the plan. But then sin came into the world, death came into the world, but even that, he says, our souls are eternal. Our souls are eternal. So eternity with or without God, with Jesus or without Jesus, if you want to say heaven or hell, that is real. And that is real. But the Sadducees, they were religious guys who didn't believe in the resurrection. There was a guy I went to a conference with this week, a guy called Rico Tice, and he was a vicar in the Church of England for about 30 years. And he left there because he saw like the corruption, he saw like the lack of trust and belief in the Bible, he saw them the hierarchy teaching things that weren't in the Bible. And he left because he couldn't be part of that. And someone said to him, oh, like, they asked a question, what do you see the future of that, or what's your concerns, or how do these people, and he says, his concern is that people in power are only there because of money and power. They're there because of money and power in these positions. And the Sadducees is a bit like that. They're there for the money and the power, the authority there. It's more political than religious, but they don't believe in the resurrection. So they came to Jesus and asked him a question. They said, teacher. So they're showing that respect there. Teacher or rabbi. They said, Moses wrote, and you can look in Deuteronomy chapter 24. So they're quoting scripture to him. They're saying, this is exactly what the scripture says, what you believe, what we believe, even what the Pharisees believe and the Jews believe. So Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow, raise up offspring for his brother. And that's true. This was because widows, sadly, were treated really badly back then, that women didn't have any power or authority or financial stability. And so God saw the heartache that was bringing, and he wanted to bring in protection for widows. And so he brought in this life way to look after them and to carry on that family as well then. So what they're saying is true. This is true. And then, so they quote him scripture, but then they think, right then, we've got him. And this is probably the thing that they think is almost like whenever they went into an argument with someone, this is their top trump card. They're like, oh, we've got Jesus on this one. He's not going to be able to answer this. So this is the situation that he gave them. It says this. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married and died without leaving any children. The second one married the widow, but he also died, leaving no children. It was the same with the third. In fact, none of the seven left any children. Last of all, the woman died too. So this is not a true story, but this is a situation that they're asking him. And then he says this. At the resurrection, which they don't believe, at the resurrection then, whose wife will she be since the seven were married to her? And you can almost like see them kind of like saying it with a smirk, kind of like, oh, we've got him. Like, we've nailed him. No one's been able to answer this question. And so, like, we've got him. Not only are we going to prove that there is no resurrection, but we're going to prove that we are right, that the Pharisees are wrong. We've kind of got him. We've nailed him on this one. And it's interesting. The reply is really short. like it's almost like a non-question. Jesus replies to them really short. He doesn't give him much time, to be honest. But verse 24 says, Jesus replied, are you not in error? Or maybe if you have a look in your Bibles right now on verse 24, you might have a slight different translation and the words might be harsher. They're like, some of it, I think one translation it says like, aren't you stupid or something like that. Like kind of like, there's a kind of a harsh like rebuke, like, are you not in error, or you are in error. You was like, you don't get it, guys. You totally don't get it. And he says, you don't get it on 2 points. He says, because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. So So there's two things that you're saying that's wrong right now. You don't know the scriptures, and you don't know the power of God. And even as a church, it's so important for us to preach the word faithfully, only the Bible. Like the Pharisees, they brought in other traditions, they brought in other books or other schools of thought. We say no to that with modern-day examples of other religions. We say no to that. We hold faithful to the Bible. We don't say that's easy. We don't say we find it difficult. We don't say we wrestle with that, but we say this is the word of God. And so we hold into that. And even the songs that we sing, we want to sing songs that theologically are correct. We want to teach the children now things that are true in a simple way. So we want to teach like the scriptures, but also like we want to see the power of God, don't we? Amen. Like we want to see the power of God. Like we believe in the power of God. We believe that the miracles that Jesus did 2,000 years ago are still for today. Amen. We believe that still for today, that Jesus, the name of Jesus, brings power. We believe that there's evil in the world. We know it, don't we? We can see it. We believe that there's evil in the world, and we believe that Jesus can cast out evil, that Jesus can conquer evil. We believe that there's horrendous situations going on in the world, and that there's difficult and dangerous situations, but we believe in the power of God. And the miracles of the Bible, we believe that they are true. And even though they are supernatural, we believe in the supernatural. And the miracles might be different to what we see today than what we see in the Bible, but we want to say amen to that, don't we? We want to say, yeah, we believe in the scriptures. And because we believe in the scriptures, we believe in the power of God. And so we'll have faith with that. We'll have faith to step into that, to pray into that, to be open to the Spirit and what he wants us to do and how he wants us to live our lives. But Jesus said to them, like, you're in error, guys. You don't get it. Like, not only have you got the scriptures wrong, but also, like, you don't believe the power of God. Like, you're limiting God. Like, you're saying, basically, God can't raise people from the dead. That is, you're saying your scriptures are wrong, and you've got to question the power of God. He says, when the dead rise. So he doesn't say if. He says, when the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. Let me just kind of, I'm going to address this slightly, but it's a bigger topic. Will we know each other in heaven? I don't know about you, but our kids ask that question. Like, will we be a family together in heaven? Will we have the same house? Like, will we still... Like, Dad, will we still have the same football and play over there? Like, will we still be able to do that? And there's the yes and the no. So the yes is that we will know each other in heaven. I believe that. If you look at Scripture, there's some certain points in the Bible. Even when Jesus transfiguration, it talks about Moses and Elijah and Jesus, people who have been dead for hundreds of years, but then they have this conversation, they know each other, they're speaking to each other. We have the story of Lazarus coming back to life and then speaking to each other. I know that is on earth, but we have that. But then it's also slightly different as well, because when Jesus himself is risen from the dead, there's two things that goes on. First of all, his disciples don't believe him to be alive, but he looks slightly different. Because when they speak to him, when they see him, they don't fully recognize him. Like, they think he's a gardener. So there's something different there. And I know this might be hard for you guys to imagine right now. Because right now you might think, Matt, you can't get any better good looking, okay? Like, this is Men's Health magazine, front cover. You might think that's it. But thankfully, my wife would be happy. Like things are only going to get better. Okay, so there'll be... and I don't. For some people, I'll hold my hands up. I don't know. Some people think that we're all going to be almost like this age of like 30 in heaven, like when Jesus rose from the dead. We're all kind of going to look in that age. I don't fully know, but we'll know each other. But also, it will be different. And it'll be different in a greater sense, in a way greater sense. Like, we won't be married, so me and my wife won't be married, and we might think that's really sad, or my children won't necessarily be my children, and again, we might think that's really sad. But just try and think of it in a different way, okay? Even think of a church. In church, thank you, Lord, you're not going to have the Baptists over there, the Pentecostals over there, and kind of the Reformed over there. That's not going to happen, is it? So we're not going to have separate churches. We're all going to be one. And in heaven, in glory, we're not going to have, oh, the Mihaila family, right, you guys can live down there. Hopkins family, oh, we're going to live over there. Parsons family, you're going to live over there. Like, we're all going to be one. And the aim is different. The aim is not building my family or like, my paying off my mortgage or trying to get abroad for three times a year. The aim is we're going to be with Jesus. Like, we're going to be with him in eternity. So all the things that we think about right now and priorities and think are great, like, they aren't even going to enter enter our mind. Like, thankfully, like, golf is not going to be in heaven. It causes me too much pain. But, like, that's not going to be there, okay? And we might think, oh, like, oh, this is upsetting, or this is difficult. But glory, being with Jesus as one body, like, that is going to be it. And it's going to be way better. And you might think, oh, I find that difficult because I got a big family and I want to be all together. But also, if someone is single and you're in a family for eternity and they're single for eternity, like, that's not going to be great, is it? Like, we are going to be together as one. And even our sexual desires, we might think, oh, well, like, what about sex? What about raising a family? Things are going to be different. So we're going to know each other, but things are going to be different. Where in Genesis, it talks about how a man is made for a woman and they're given in marriage, and then their gift then is to raise children. Like, in heaven, it'll be different. There won't be marriage. There won't be a union of a man and a woman to make more children. Marriage is a picture of Christ and his church. Marriage is a picture of Jesus being the groom, and we are the bridegroom, and we are united together forever. And so that's what it looks like. And so there's a challenge there for us right now, isn't there? Or it's almost like, even in our family situation right now, like, where are we putting all our eggs in? Like, are we thinking, like, my family is my world? My family is kind of my ministry? My family is all about my family? And the danger of that is our families can become our idols. Our families can become almost like a separate kingdom. Or God, you can't touch that. Or this is it. No, actually, like, the children of God are people who put their faith and trust in Jesus. Like, we are the children of God. And our families are gifts. 100%, our families are gifts. I love my wife. I love my boys more than any other human being on this earth. And in this life, I will give myself to them till my dying breath. I will love them and serve them as best I can till my dying breath. But then when this life is over, it's only going to get better, because I will be able to see them in glory in a different way. But rather than it being us and together and sitting together on these six seats, we can be off anywhere with Jesus, focusing on him and being with others. And so he says that, and then he says, now about the dead rising, you have not read it. Have you not read in the book of Moses? So again, remember, these guys believe in the first five books of the Bible, which Moses was inspired and led to write through God. And so he's putting it back to them. Now about the dead rising, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the account of the burning bush, which they believed? So if he quoted Psalm, they wouldn't believe that. If they talked about the story of Samson or a minor prophet, So he's talking to them about the things that they are supposed to believe. In the account of the burning bush, how God said to him, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are badly mistaken. And like, that's the end of the conversation. Mic drop, onto the other one. Like, you guys chew on that one. Like, he's just saying, look, guys, you've totally missed the point. Like, you've totally got it wrong. Like, he's saying, yeah, like, of course there's resurrection. Like, look at the people you believe in. Like, am I, he is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. You are badly mistaken. And even, like we said, we got a funeral tomorrow with Val Dobie. And there's pain when we lose someone, isn't there? There's pain. There's loss. There's hurt. Like, we deal with that. There's grief. Like, these are all natural, good emotions that we work through, that we kind of wrestle with, that they're natural, aren't they? It would be a void to not think those things. But as he says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I don't want to preach heresy here, but you could say the God of Val Dobie, because Val Dobie right now is more alive than she's ever been. Like, she's with Jesus. She is with Jesus. And she's not a star in the sky. She's not a blade of grass in the field. She's not like on our shoulder or speaking to us. I would go as far as say, she's not even thinking about us or looking down. She's with Jesus. My gran died probably 25 years ago of cancer. And I don't think she's looked down at me once. Like, she's with Jesus. She's with all of the angels and those who have died, who have trusted him, and she is with him. And the amazing thing is, I will not only see Jesus, but I will see my gran one day. And it might take me a while to work out, oh, gran, you look different. you're smaller than I thought, I can't remember. But it might work out different, but I'm going to join her and join all the others and you guys, and all of us who put our faith and trust in Jesus, because God is the God of the living, not the dead. The resurrection is true. And that's what gives this life hope. It shows it's not an accident. It's not, we are built with purpose. And so, some just questions to finish off. Like, will you rise again in Jesus? Like, Jesus is clear in the scriptures that he is the resurrection and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. No one can have eternity with God. No one can be in the new heavens and the new earth without him. And that can be hard sometimes, maybe, if we think of loved ones or think of people in our lives. But let's just get it right ourselves. Like, do you trust that? Is that real for you? If someone asked you, say, oh, are you going to heaven? You said, yes, because I'm a good person, or I haven't been to jail, or I pay my taxes. Like, that is the wrong answer. Like, that's the wrong answer. The only way you get to be forgiven, the only way you become a child of God, the only way eternity is possible, if your answer is, yes, because my faith is in Jesus. My faith is in Jesus. In his life and his death and his resurrection. Like, my faith is in him. And because my faith is in him and what he's done and who he said he is, and he's told me that that's true, if my faith is in him. So is your faith in Jesus? If you're not sure, or if you'd like to talk to us about that, or if you'd like to make that a reality, we'd love to pray with you. Like, is your eternal hope in marriage and your family, or Christ and his church? And that's not to say that, of course, our marriage and our family is a gift from God, aren't they? They're massively important. Like, these are the places and the people that God has given us. But also, like, this is just a picture for Christ and his church. Like, let's try and work out the balance. Like, let's get things right. Like, let's serve both, but let's get an eternal perspective of that. And also, like, just what will it be like? There's some great books out in my bookshelf, if you want some, about heaven. What will it be like? What will we do? Like I said, will we know each other? Like, loads of questions, aren't there? And for my boys, we're definitely not going to live in Bryngelas or have that football or anything like that. But what will it look like? What will it be like? And there's answers to that. And so if you've got questions or if you want me to recommend a book, then I can do that. But there's also, if we're honest, there's a lot of things that we can only imagine, isn't it? That we don't fully know right now. That it's almost like a dream of what it'll be look like. And we're just going to finish with this video. It says, "I can only imagine." And so this is a song. It's an old song, so you might know it. But this is what it is for us to finish off with this.